Welcome to Coffee to Go, where we center ourselves in the scriptures, seasons, and holy days of the Christian tradition. I'm Karen Peter, here with Blake Smith, and we welcome you on the journey. We are in ordinary time, or what's often called the season after Pentecost, and these are numbered weeks or ordered weeks. Ordinary time comes from that. And it's a long stretch of 25 or so weeks with no major present receiving festivals or present giving, which apparently is my descriptor of whether it's major or not. But there are no major religious festivals or feast days during this period of time. And instead, we focus on deepening our discipleship in ordinary time. And so the Sundays after Pentecost are called propers. So this Sunday we are on proper 9. Next Sunday, proper 10. And this propers, I don't know why I'd never asked myself before, where did that come from? And it comes from the Latin proprium, which refers to part of the early church Christian liturgy and continued on as Catholic and Episcopal liturgy that varies according to the date, either representing a season in the Christian calendar or a holy day observance within the whole liturgical year. And so propers just refer to the fact that our lectionary scripture changes with the seasons and changes in ordinary time each week. So the propers, the parts that change, as opposed to some of the liturgical elements like the Lord's Prayer, which always stay the same. So a question, an answer to a question you have never asked, and we were happy to help here at Coffee to Go. So where are we with Jesus this week? We are with Jesus as he calls and sends the 70, or depending on what Bible version you read, the 72, and two by two, they go out in mission. So Blake, let's hear what Luke has to say about this.
All right. Well, the scripture does come from the Gospel of Luke. It is the 10th chapter, and today I'll be reading the 1st through the 11th verse and the 16th through the 20th verse. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what it sets before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So a couple things about this passage. First, there's been conversation over the years about why 70 or 72. First of all, 70 is representative of all nations. It's kind of like some other numbers that are used in the scriptures. So 12 representing the 12 tribes of Israel, which is all inclusive, and 40, which is used throughout the scriptures. That just means a really, really, really long time.
I love that one. It rained a really, really, really long time when Noah was in the ark.
Yes. So 70 again was the number used to mean every nation on earth. It was all inclusive. And there are some scholars who say that in Greek translations, they didn't realize this, and looking for consistency with all the 12s, they decided to go with a multiple of 12 and changed it to 72. And then there are others who live in their humanity who think, well, it's probably just the fact that a scribe messed up and now we have 72.
That's where I go. I live in that. I'm always messing up and changing something because I didn't pay attention. I'm thinking that's what happened. But
Yeah, the lighting was bad. I was doing it by candlelight.
which they
But
were.
we're gonna let you make the call on that. I don't think that it matters significantly. Depends on which interpretation of the scriptures that you read. What's more important about this passage is that we see indicators in the Gospel of Luke that show Luke was very intentional about portraying Jesus, presenting Jesus as one who was for all the people, Jew and Gentile alike. So this reference to 70 or 72 is just again that presentation that Jesus is saying, go to all the nations. It's all inclusive. And in the midst of that, we find lessons on hospitality. And this is really difficult for us because we want to, I know when, we're going on a family vacation or we're going on a family outing, we want to make sure we have everything. We kind of joke in our family that if we don't have it, my wife probably has it in her purse, or my daughter has it in her bag. She plans for every eventuality. One of the things that I hadn't really thought about, but when we look at this whole thing in context, we've just come out of chapter 9 in the Gospel of Luke, where we have the feeding of the multitude, and this idea in Luke where he wants to present the abundance that is a reality when we are in relationship with God. And so when we think about that, we have that as a background to come into this, where Jesus says, don't take a bunch of stuff. Rely on God. I've already shown you the abundance that God provides. Rely on the community and the cultural rules of hospitality. And that was very much a part of the culture in those days. It was very much a part of the culture where I grew up in the South. It's not, I don't know that it necessarily is now. I've been out of the South for 30 years. I think with all the division in our nation and in the world, that may be a little bit less. But the idea here is don't worry about all those things. God will provide, the community will provide. Allow yourself to be vulnerable and eat what they give you. Don't jump around from place to place. Stay in one home and take time to dig into deeper relationships, to build relationships. That's kind of what hospitality is all about. Luke uses the phrase, the kingdom of God comes near to you and or has come near to you. And in Community of Christ, we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about the reign of God, we talk about Zionic conditions. We have in Doctrine and Covenants section 140 that Zionic conditions are no further away nor any closer than the spiritual condition of my people justifies. When we are in relationship with God and our those conditions, our spirituality, our Well, just where we're walking with God, we don't have to worry. We can focus on the relationships and the hospitality. And that is what Jesus is telling, or Luke is saying through Jesus' words in this passage.
When
Again,
we were, when before we really started using phrases of blessings of community, we would talk about Zion, and a lot of older church members would still have building Zion as part of their Christian discipleship and a formation. And so the way I have phrased it before has been Zion is present when we behave as a people of Zion.
Yes.
Right? It kind of ties in with that wherever two or more are gathered, the Spirit's there. Zion's here. It's among us. I mean, it's kind of like the kingdom of God is here. It's among us, but you have to behave like it's among us.
Right.
Right?
It's an intentional, it's definitely an intentional act. And
Yeah.
I probably shared this before in our podcast, but some of the places where I have found what we would call quote unquote Zionic conditions or community have not been in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I visited as a at an open AA meeting and found the community there, which was intentional, which was there in support of one another. I mean, it was that kind of community. I found that in listening circle groups where we were being intentional about hearing one another. So that's the kind of hospitality that we can focus on when we're not focused on the things that we carry with us. And that's not
Yeah.
only literal baggage, but emotional baggage and all of that as well. So in this case, Jesus is telling those disciples, if you're not extended hospitality, go in the street and protest the inhospitable treatment. Pastor and Professor Harold Osorto writes, the good news should and always has engaged in protest. We don't typically link our missionary activities with protest, but this is a type of protest that we're called to, and we need in our culture and community to protest inhospitality, to speak out about that.
This is an interesting piece of this passage because when we talk about this, so you and I do a lot of research to do these podcasts on Sunday morning. And one of the things that hit me in this, first, I was really surprised by this statement. Harold Osorto is of Hispanic descent. His parents were immigrants to America. He was director of I forget what it was. Anyway, look him up. He's an interesting person. He's a ELCA Lutheran pastor. And this whole idea that the good news should and always engaged in protests. So I had to wrap my head around that a little bit. It's kind of like the plenty good trouble, right? I
Yeah.
getting in good trouble. The good trouble isn't that you're protesting because someone was mean to you. That's not what this is. This isn't the shaking the dust off your shoes because people didn't accept your idea or your opinion or your social media post. That's not what this is. This is protesting a social injustice that has become normative. So in a culture where hospitality is almost mandatory, right? It's so ingrained in the culture, so much mandatory. For someone to refuse you hospitality is a serious injustice. And so what you're protesting is the injustice that society is letting happen because it's too much to go against it. So you could say it's very much embedded in the Christian tradition of protesting because we want to get at the systems that continue to allow poverty and oppression to exist. That's what we protest against, not because someone's a liberal or someone's a conservative and we don't like what they're saying, or they haven't treated us the way they haven't valued us or our opinion the way we think we should be valued. It's about community. It's not about the individual.
Absolutely right. So what comes out of that, and we ought to be asking this of ourselves all the time, is what is our personal and communal level of hospitality? So would someone consider our hospitality as an expression of God's love that the kingdom has come near, or would they rightfully protest
Yeah.
the injustices that happen because of our lack of hospitality? So.
So it's no fun to turn these scriptures on ourselves, Blake. I'm just saying it's not pleasant, and it seems like we're doing it more and more. I don't know if you're trying to make a point to me or what, but it just seems like in this current culture in which you and I find ourselves, these lessons are more and more applicable, and sometimes they're just really uncomfortable.
They are. They are. It's
Really,
much more
really.
comfortable when we can take the scriptures and point them at somebody else.
Exactly. I much prefer that.
Well,
It's
sorry about
harder
that.
when I have to navigate through my own behavior, right? And my own character.
I dare say we get enough encouragement to do that in church and culture. So we're going to be countercultural.
You go. We're going to do our best anyway here at Coffee to Go.
And on that note, how about a few specific questions for us to consider this week? What level of hospitality do I extend to others? And how is the divine presence reflected in my character and actions? Some might simply ask, is the divine presence reflected in my character and actions? But to keep it from being just a simple yes or no, how is it reflected? And we might also phrase that is in the way of saying, is the kingdom near to me? When someone's in my presence, do they experience that sense of the kingdom being near? And finally, what kind of stuff am I willing to leave behind? What kind of baggage am I willing to drop off to bring peace, wholeness, and reconciliation to others?
Yeah, that's that take no purse or script, or and that whole idea about going out with the whole focus to be in relationship, right? To receive and offer peace to others. And I had to really think about that. What kind of stuff am I willing to leave behind? That's an uncomfortable and lengthy contemplation that needs to happen there.
Yeah, and I just bought a bigger suitcase, so
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Here we go.
I need to try to go back to at least a carry-on.
All of us folks getting ready to go to World Conference in Independence, Missouri. That's going to happen begin on March 31st. How much stuff are we packing in those suitcases, people? So for me, it's half my house, I think. I'm not sure how this works. But we'll make the most of it. I love the questioning part, Blake, because we really I think you and I really take the questions seriously, and we really take the experiences seriously about it. And I appreciate that. So how do we experience this week? So what really came to mind when I was thinking about hospitality in other cultures is the whole namaste bow. When you see it in Southeast Asia, a lot, where you put your hands together, flat hands together in a prayer pose, and then bow your head to another person and offer namaste, and they do the same back to you. And it's namaste literally means I bow to you. But in Hindu culture, it's bigger. It's I bow to the divine in you. I see that in you. So I bow to you because you are a reflection of the divine. And you bow to me because you see the same reflection in me. And to me, that's kind of the kingdom has come near to you moment, right? Because that's what Jesus is saying, is that there's the divine presence is here when we behave like children of the divine presence. And so that's what this namaste experience points to, that the kingdom is near to us when we recognize the divine in each other and treat people accordingly. So this week, bow to the divine in others. I mean, you can do it silently in your head. You don't have to actually bow if that freaks you out, but what the heck? Bless peace upon others and acknowledge the kingdom presence in others this week. Look for it in your own character, in your own actions, in your own behaviors this week. But let's bow to one another this week.
All right. And to wrap up, we're going to focus on that hospitality. And our blessing is called Before Hosting. The authors are Tiffany Holden and Douglas McElvey. And it comes from a blessing and celebration liturgy. O God of welcome and celebration, be present in our pending gathering. Be present in these preparations. Quiet our hearts before the coming hubbub, O Lord. Bless these resources of food and drink and hospitable spaces over which you have made us stewards. May we use them in gracious and creative ways to foster good fellowship, bringing joy and comfort and delight to our guests. Let our service this day be generous. Let our hearts be open to all. Grant to our company your traveling mercies in their comings and goings. May the swing of this door be to them as an invitation to shed their worries outside and to enter here a space of rest and refreshment. But however they arrive, whether buoyant or burdened, may each know themselves welcomed and wanted here. Well, thanks for joining us here today at Coffee to Go. We invite you, as always, to join us next time for the next part of our journey through the liturgical seasons and holy days of the Christian tradition.